Welcome to Misdone Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your household. I'm your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
So, how's it going? Starting off, just introductions, or I guess pleasantries. How you been?
Been all right. How's your weekend been?
Pretty good. Been out and about, or at least, you know, seeing some people, stuff like that, celebration, fun like that, blah, 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 all that good stuff.
Celebration? What were you celebrating?
Okay. Little, background info. One, it was my birthday.
That's right.
As the crow flies on Wednesday, or at least at the time of recording. And then, I don't know, maybe it was just a popular time to be born for people that I know, but there were actually a couple of birthdays celebrated this weekend in my social circle, so yeah, it was fun.
Hey, great job for everyone. Great job on making it around the sun again.
Good job. We did it. We're here. Celebrations were had. Yeah, that's it. That's all there is to it.
Well, I'm glad that you had a good weekend, because for my weekend, I gotta tell you, I got bullied. I got bullied, I got harassed, I got jumped with verbal words.
Were they the cool kids? The teenagers that hang out around your block?
It wasn't those kids for once. I was at an arcade, and my go-to game to play is Tapper. I don't know if you've ever played Tapper before.
That's the bar one, right?
Yeah.
Where you're serving... Okay, yeah.
You serve root beer, and then if you've got the adult version, you serve full-bodied Budweisers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This was the Budweiser one. Not that there's anything different about the gameplay about it. It's just there's a Budweiser logo in the background as opposed to it saying root beer. And first thing that I did when I went to the arcade, this was like early in the night, it was like 10 p.m. or something like that, and I just immediately went to the Tapper thing, set the high score, easy peasy. Later on then throughout the night, I was just like hanging out doing other things and then decided to go back to Tapper. When I was playing it for the second time, I was playing it with a friend of mine, and directly behind us as we were playing, there was some emo guy and his emo girlfriend just directly behind us just commenting about our gameplay and saying things like, they don't got the skills to be good at this game or whatever.
Wow,
and
really?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they were, yeah. And this is directly after I had just set the high score for it, so I don't know if they knew. They didn't know that at the time when I was doing it. And so my other friend had left to go say bye to someone, and then I was just there playing mine, and I could still hear them talking about me, just being like, look what he's doing. He's serving it all wrong. And you know, I wasn't really taking it seriously at that point because I'd already, as I said, set the high score. And I said, you know, I turned around to them and says, you know, I actually just, like, I scored, like, 75,000 points on this thing, like, earlier today, and I currently still have the high score. And then the guy's, like, eyes widen, and he was like, oh, snap, you're DJB? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I am.
Yeah. Put him in a place.
Yeah, exactly.
Reveal. It's like Undercover Boss.
Yeah. I pull off my fake mustache, and it's like, I'm actually the current high scorer. So I actually
pull off my fake mustache to reveal my real mustache.
Exactly. And so I like walked away from there. I was just like, you can go ahead and try to beat my high score. Like, I'm done with this machine. I was just playing with a friend, and since they just walked away, you know, I'm not going to play this anymore.
All talk.
I know, exactly. And then I was like, it was like, oh man, I got to beat your high score. And I was like, all right, good luck. Like, see ya. So
it'd be one thing if then that person stepped up, and then, like, even if they weren't like better, if they stepped up and were like at least like good and did that, but no. The fact that they walked away...
I walked away. I let them have the machine after that.
Oh, gotcha.
I was like, you can go ahead and try to beat this high score. Like, I'm done playing with this right now. Obviously, because I already came here what I meant to do, which was set the high score. And that wasn't even at my best. I've definitely done better than 75,000, but I could have walked or watched them... And
then commented on their play.
Maybe done the same thing, like, oh, nice beer slinging skills. But yeah, that was that.
Wow. I didn't know that in this modern day and age that bullying exists. Well, I guess I should say that bullying existed at our age and of that specific, I guess.
It was like, two nerds bullying each other. Like, yeah, well, exactly. I wasn't really bullying them back. I didn't really say anything. I just kind of let them have the machine. But it was like, what are you trying to prove here? Like, I know you're trying to impress, like, your girlfriend, who actually was much nicer and saying things like, I don't know, he's pretty good to me.
Maybe she's actually undercover really good at the game, but she never gets a chance.
I wouldn't be surprised with that couple. That guy seemed like a straight-up jerk.
Yeah, he's a real treat, apparently. Or at least it sounds like.
Nerd-on-nerd bullying.
The worst kind.
The worst. You hate to hear it.
Yeah.
But anyways, well, that was my weekend.
Sounds like you ended up and triumphed as the hero of this story, which is always good to hear and know. I know that you were saying, too, that, I mean, that is a interesting... And you know, I don't know how deep we can go. We might need to add some flavor in our pot there, but that's an interesting vein, to say the least, in terms of
bullying a potential at board an game arcade? Right there.
Yeah, so already getting some wheels in motion. This doesn't have to be the name, but I do for kind of like a springboard inspiration to go off of. What about a title or a game called Game of Games, like Game of Thrones, but players are at an arcade and they play various games and such, and I guess there would be like various ways that you could do it. You know, we can work out mechanics how it is, but the point is to have the most high scores, and who knows, maybe we can even do like teams, or you have knights and alliances and lords that defend your machines from other players trying to beat the high score. That's where kind of the medieval knights and, you know, stuff comes in at that point.
Well, I mean, there are quite a few things that you can incorporate with an arcade. I mean, first and foremost, when I think of arcade, there's always tickets involved, and that's kind of like a good form of currency in a game such as this. Imagine, I don't know what kind of game this would be, but if you've got some sort of tickets or something like that, you can take yourself to the little prize wall and get something to help you out throughout the later in the game. Perhaps in this game, that's how you can unlock different skills, or, you know, something of that nature. Like,
you could buy a foam sword to defend the machine that you are at, to thwart off aggressors.
Well, is this supposed to be, like, is this in a medieval arcade game? Like, are we doing, like... arcade games like Galaga? Or are you saying medieval, like the arcade is like Renaissance fair, shoot the arrow or axe throwing stuff?
No, I'm talking like it's a regular... Okay, here's the lore and flavor that I guess I'm kind of pitching. We don't have to stick with it. Regular arcade, and there would either be teams, or you would have multiple, I guess, characters that you would control, and once you or someone on your team or whatever beat a high score or set a high score on a machine, you can basically station someone there and be a sentry that when another opposing team or opposing character comes up and tries to beat the high score, you physically fight them. Or at least, like, in the game, the mechanics is that one of your knight, your stalwart knight, defends the machine and does not let them play by dueling them or something.
So it's just like a matter of like, it's like you're claiming land or you're claiming machines and then leaving behind someone to just stand there.
Yes. And again, it doesn't have to be obviously like hitting someone with a sword. It could just be, you know, being very distracting, doing a distracting dance, slurping a drink right next to their ear to be...
You could get, like, a megaphone, and then that's when you can incorporate the bullying part, and so that your insults are much louder while they're, like, playing the game to distract them from playing it. Like, what if instead of knights, it's like you just hire, like, high school bullies, like a nerd's worst enemy, who will sometimes sneak up and give wedgies as the other person's playing?
I don't... That all makes sense. And if we were to kind of go on this theme that, yeah, maybe it is just kind of like, you know, you've got your high school jocks who are the ones that come into the arcade, and I guess the nerds are paying them in some way to defend the machines while other nerds are also trying to go around and beat the high scores. Mm-hmm. My only thing is that I'm not a huge fan of those tropes, is I guess all I'll say.
Okay.
But I like the idea. I'm just wondering if we can kind of twist it so it sits a little bit better for me. That's all.
Sure. No, I understand that. That's a totally valid criticism. I think the medieval thing, it's not clicking for me. Like, but we can just keep it as like bodyguards or something of that nature. And like, there still can be like a big foam sword or a big foam finger that you can like poke the other person while they're playing the game itself. But I'm just confused on the whole sort of like guarding a machine.
So the how that looks to me mechanics wise is that, let's say that, sure, okay, you're a player, I'm a player, I have three characters. Two have skills that are really good at particular arcade games, so like I have two people on my team that are like that, and then one person on my team that is, you know, the muscle of whatever, or like a character that is the muscle. So the board itself would be the various arcade machines. And I assume that, yeah, you could, like, maybe there are some, like, kind of components where you can block or even rearrange the board to better suit, you know, your defense points, so to speak. So I could go around and beat these high scores and, you know, hopefully put my one guy in a spot where, you know, they can successfully block you from making moves. And then let's say that, again, conversely, you only have one character that's good at the video games and then two people that are good blockers. So it would be kind of a back and forth, or at least playing the game in a certain way that I am getting my characters to do, obviously, their things that they're good at while you are blocking me, but also getting your one character. So,
okay,
you know, just not that characters can only do certain things. It's just I am imagining that characters have different specialties.
Yeah, okay. And let's then say I like this. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to just do some slight rearranging here, because you said the muscle. What if this was instead of knights and things like that, we go with the theme of, like, it's a crime, like, Ocean's 11, kind of. You got the muscle, you got the brains. Yeah.
Sorry, and, like, go on. I'm just really liking it.
Yeah. But then, like, you can still have things like the muscle. Yeah, you can get your muscle to guard a machine, or they can go play skee ball. Because you're not going to send old noodle arms over there to play skee ball. They're going to mess up every single time. You're going to get someone with some power to go. So I say we've got different sort of games that appeal to different kind of, like, players itself. That's more or less what I'm pitching.
No, that actually sounds great. Because, yeah, then we have kind of like a cool heist, competing heist vibe, or yeah, like, you know, kind of like rival gangs, like, you know, street smart Sally, she doesn't know, or she can't do, you know, the little like puzzle game stuff like that, but man, can she really crush it in the driving games.
Yeah, you know? Oh yeah,
stuff like that.
Gotta have the driver. That's right.
Oh yeah.
So okay. This is good. I like this whole premise.
Sweet. Okay, so let's shoot out some shootout. There's one. Some various arcade style games. Driving game.
Driving game.
Some kind of marksman type game, like maybe like a shooting gallery thing where
plenty,
you know,
of
obviously
those.
You get.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got your skee balls and your basketballs.
Yep, skee balls, basketballs. Maybe even just one that is like kind of chance. I know that there is skill, but like a Plinko type thing.
Yeah. You know those machines that it has like a spinning light and it like spins around.
Yeah,
around.
You just and you time it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That can be definitely one of them.
Cool. Man, I'm not really good. Oh, whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole. Mm-hmm.
Whack-a-mole. It's a classic. And then are we a fan of, or at least I should honestly ask if you're a fan of, because I think the games are kind of boring, where you shoot water at something and it makes something else move and go, but then you just kind of sit there and shoot water.
Yeah, straight. I do know which one you're talking about. Yeah, those ones are kind of boring, but that is definitely a classic one.
Yeah. I like the horse race ones where you can shoot it, or at least how well you throw a ball. Like, it is kind of just like a ski ball, but how well your aim is essentially associates with how fast your horse goes.
Yeah, those ones are good. Horse racing ones. I do like those ones.
Well, cool. Okay, so we have a myriad of games that I assume would be associated with, like, I'm honestly kind of imagining stats on these character cards, like strength, dexterity, I don't know, coolness, and then like maybe sharpness for like how, like, you know, one for like the light tracking game, if you can like really like your perception, I guess, is really good on that character.
Sure. Okay, here, picture this. So remember how we used to go on vacations to a certain beach and there was that mm-hmm. boardwalk arcade? And we would mm-hmm. hustle people for the whack-a-mole, and you would get better prizes based on how many people are playing.
Yep.
What if we make that as the setting, but it's like gangs of, I don't know, teenagers all trying to get together to, like, basically get as much as they can out of that boardwalk arcade.
That's what I was about to say. Just because you said that, I did say in my head, I was like, man, if only Boardwalk Empire wasn't a show, we'd have a name right there ready to go.
Curse you, Nucky.
I know. We'll have
Steve
to...
Steve Buscemi.
So, like, I'm honestly kind of imagining, or at least, again, like a naming convention to slot in perfectly with our theme. Like, we'll have to come up with a fictional... arcade area, but like gangs of Chuck E. Cheese, you know, like something like that.
Gangs of the Chuck.
Oh, Chucky and the gang.
Chucky, that's the final something boss. Like, it's the animatronics. They like release themselves from their prison and they start like playing all the games.
So let me pitch this angle, and it could honestly be that the game kind of has both components. It just, I feel like it's a lot of different directions and wanted to pick your brain. Because you said that, you know, you get better prizes for more people that are playing whack-a-mole at any given time, which, I mean, you know, it's just how it is because you got to buy in, and so people get better prizes.
Yes.
Should there be a component where, like, if you and I both send, you know, a person to, like, compete in whack-a-mole in one round or whatever, that's two people competing, should part, or at least even another mechanic or aspect, and I just... really like it for the name, but like maybe you can like lure in quote unquote rubes, and the more rubes that you lure in to beat, the better score you get, you know, in our board game.
Yeah, I think that's a great mechanic. I think they should just be like wandering rubes, just like at any given moment you maybe like roll a dice to see how many people are playing outside of the actual official players, and rubes are just there to increase the stakes of it being like, like, maybe you roll a dice and you roll a six, and six rubes show up at the whack-a-mole game, and then all of a sudden all the players are like, oh man, there's six players already there. That's already a pretty big prize outside of the people who want to join. So maybe that's the way that you can get, you know, that you can dictate that. But I think you could also lure other people in if there aren't enough rubes at a game that you want to play. You can, I don't know, do like a fun little dance and bring some rubes in to play that one game where you hit the frog and make it land on a lily pad.
Just about to say that, actually, that I think another stat that could each character could have could be like a charisma, you know, that maybe they're not the best at the games, but when they hang out at particular games, more rubes are more attracted to it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not, maybe you roll dice for just how many rubes are put in per round, and then where they go is dictated based off of, you know, however you as, or we as players, move our characters, use different abilities, do different things. And let me throw this out. If it lands, I'm going to be very happy. But if it doesn't, that's okay. Arcade Hustle.
Arcade Hustle? For, like, the title?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good title. I like that.
Again, we can workshop that. But, I mean, I'm really imagining now that, yeah, it's we're less in Ocean's franchise, and now we're in like, I mean, yeah, we're in like American Hustle and stuff like that, where it's, you kind of have your team and you're pulling the wool over on some of these rubes.
Mm-hmm. The last thing, well, this is actually not the last thing, but a huge factor about this game that I'd like to flesh out is how are these arcade games played on the board game? Because it would be great to have some sort of, like, I don't know. I don't want to just leave it to, like, rolling the dice, you know? If we could make that part as a little bit bigger, like, I don't know, get it closer to actually playing the arcade game, then...
Oh, does this game come with little components? Like, little, you know, standalone, like, pieces or whatever? So, like, it's, like, quite literally, like, a tiny skee ball that players then have to kind of play tiny skee ball to see how well they do?
I was thinking about that, and, I mean, and it makes sense in my head. And that is a lot of setup. It become, like, a gigantic, like setting up, like,
big box
crap. Like, how you have to put all the pieces together for 30 minutes before you can actually play the game, and then it's just, like, a 10-second payoff. But, I mean, we could do that, and then when you have, like, some sort of, like, player who's more skilled at, like, a whack-a-mole game, maybe you get, like, a bonus. Like, see, I'm confused on how we would do, like, a whack-a-mole, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the skee-ball one, you could definitely pack a little tiny one in there. But, I mean, is that fun? Is that... I don't know if that's that fun, where everyone just stops playing the game and then tries to hit, like, a little skee-ball thing.
See, I was imagining that it would be more... This might be a different... Or I do like this idea of a board game that comes with a bunch of tiny little games. But I don't know... Yeah, I don't know if that would be the most engaging and fun thing. I was honestly imagining of how you settled... How you settle who wins each one is that... Again, let's say that both of us have one of our characters at the skee ball, and there's... three rubes there, you know, competing against our characters.
Sure.
Skee ball is, I don't know, I guess it'd be like kind of like a strength game and like maybe like minor dexterity and how
strength and precision.
Walks. Yeah, strength and precision. Precision's a great name for it. So like how that would happen then is that we roll dice. I'm honestly kind of imagining like, again, those, like, stat blocks are, like, thresholds that we have to meet. So maybe, like, you actually want a low stat. So, like, if my strength is 1, I have the highest strength possible. Or, like, it's impossible for me to not make it on a roll. But maybe my dexterity or my precision isn't good. And so when I roll for precision, I need to, like, use a card. Like, I don't know, like, you would have cards in your hand as you, like, buy things with the tickets that you got.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy, like, I don't know, like, amazing or like spectacles or whatever, and so my character puts on the spectacles, increasing their precision enough so they can do it. And then based off of obviously those checks, and even if we both make it, I would hope, or I don't know, we could try to figure out ties. I would hope that eventually one of us would have a better score overall, or like a higher ceiling threshold. Again, maybe there are extra items, like you could throw like glue on my track or something like that, like, or a glue card that makes any game harder because, you know, it's the ball gets sticky.
It's glue.
Something gets, yeah, it's glue. It gets,
it's
all,
glue
everything
for
gets all
crying out loud.
it's a big thing. Elmer's glue. And so that's what I'm saying. So then you would win, and then you would also get, I guess, like 3 points just straight up for however many rubes you beat.
Yeah, or like you get like the tickets then. And
yes,
the tickets can be used for other things.
Oh, I actually kind of like that. That I think the scoring, the winning of this game, is how many tickets you have left over, or like at the end of the game. So you need to like be like, oh, like I could buy, you know, I could buy the Pontiac Solstice, or I could buy the biggest thing in the prize ball, and my characters will be able to drive around the arcade faster, but it's a ton of tickets to get, so like I need to make sure that I'm buying it and then also getting enough tickets back to,
you know,
that.
I was thinking about that same sort of thing, how there's always like a car like in these arcade things, and they're always,
yeah,
like a million tickets,
or like a little like it's like a little like go-kart that they,
yeah,
sell.
Yeah, And so I was thinking somewhat along the same line. Like, I don't think we should make it about who has the most tickets at the end of the game. I think it should be something like there's a super big mega prize, and like whoever gets that first wins. But like along your same lines is that you could spend your tickets, and you're going to want to spend your tickets to increase your character's stats so that they're all around pretty good at things. But ultimately, you want to get this final prize, which is worth, like, I don't know, like 100 tickets or something like that.
Okay, yeah. No, I like that better, because so that will give kind of like a concrete end of the game of just whoever can buy that prize.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, of course, along the way, I mean, yeah, if it's 100 tickets for the go-kart, maybe it is 50 tickets for, you know, a nice pair of Air Jordans, where your character can run around the arcade faster, and maybe they're even better at, you know, some different precision games because they're light on their feet.
Well, I like the idea that your characters can get a go-kart and ram around inside this arcade beach boardwalk area. Oh, so
maybe 100 tickets, you buy the arcade. The grand prize.
Well, I was going to ask you what next. What is the final prize if go-karts at the mid level? It should be physical.
I think you just buy the arcade. And that's how the game ends, obviously, or at least that's why it ends, because you are the better hustling group and you succeeded.
You're saying that the owner would sell the arcade after someone like got enough tickets? And just like,
look, this isn't the most legitimate business, I guess, we're talking about here. I'll admit that, but yeah, I thought that would be. I think that's kind of a nice little.
Well, like, you know, a group of teens, they're not going to want to run the arcade. They just want to go play there. Like, what's important to the Gen Z kids these days?
Oh my God, you might as well just ask me like how big the sun is, and I could like. Say it's pretty dang big, but I don't
but you don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know what the I'm gonna leave that one open and for our listeners to suggest to us as we create this game,
yeah, what the grand prize is.
What the grand prize, maybe we can think of something. You know, kids like the Pokemon cards. What if it was like a shiny first edition holographic Charizard, in which
that's pretty good
in itself, you could sell to then buy the arcade if you'd like.
It is worth more than the arcade.
Yeah, it's astounding that the arcade person hasn't sold it. Yeah.
No, I like that. Yeah, I can't say that I'm going to come up with something better. So that sounds good to me.
Yeah, something of that. It's a holographic first edition Charizard or something of equivalent value. Whatever you know that final prize is, you can make up on your own.
Now here are two game mechanics that I'm thinking of. That I think would actually like really spice it up so that it's not just the actions that you're doing or like the games that you're playing. Cause you know, obviously like if you have a character that is better that has better stat blocks than mine and certain things, like I'm never going to try to compete with you there. So two aspects that I think, or at least extra mechanics to kind of influence gameplay. So to give more ways to win, so to speak. I think you can try to steal from the prize area. Now, granted,
ooh,
how
risky?
Yeah, exactly. Like you can distract the guard or the person standing behind the counter, and then you know you can maybe like slip someone in and you can get out with the glue or whatever. So you don't pay any tickets, but you got out with it. Along those lines, too, is I think there should be almost like a go directly to jail mechanic where. If your character gets caught, obviously trying to steal, they, you know, have to be out for however many rounds.
Yeah, that's got to be a high risk, high reward move, stealing something from the prize wall.
I think another component of, again, like if your characters just have better stat blocks than me, across various games, there's no way I'm gonna beat you. So maybe an aspect that you could do is that if I maybe have high charisma characters. I can kind of go talk to the guard and maybe like while you're hustling people on the games, I get you caught as you're trying to, you know, pull one over on the Rubes. And so you get in trouble, and then you, or at least those characters that are better than mine, are out of the game momentarily. And then I have a chance to, you know, catch up to you, I would assume, in this scenario, with my tickets while you're, you know, in the timeout, the penalty zone.
Okay, so you're saying that you can, if you see someone else trying to steal, you could talk to these more or less security guards and, like, basically tell on them.
I'm saying too that I think there should be a mechanic that even if someone isn't trying to steal, like, if you have a character that is just doing whack-a-mole and they're there every single time beating someone or whatever, maybe that's, like, you know, a reportable thing, or at least, like, maybe there's, like, even, like, a tracker, like, I don't know, a character, they're getting too hot, they're on a winning streak, yeah, like a casino. And so me, with my characters, if I have more charismatic characters, I can try to, you know, trigger an event of some kind, the mechanics I haven't thought of yet, but trigger an event where, you know, someone tries to come catch you. And who knows, maybe if you just step away from the game and you know, take that character off, then it'll diffuse the, you know, I guess the security or whatever. But then again, that still does give me a chance to go in and play that game and get some tickets myself while you have this kind of cooldown effect.
Well, I think, okay, so a few things. I think...
Go for it.
The drawback to sitting at a station for every single time shouldn't be that you could get kicked off of it. Because I don't think anyone in an arcade or an actual one's going to tell you to stop spending money there. I think the drawback of it is that when you start playing whack-a-mole so many times, maybe there's a higher chance that other Rubes will catch on and that you don't get as many prizes being played. Because the Rubes then will be like, oh, I don't want to play this guy. He's been winning for like the past three times. And then there's a higher chance that less and less Rubes will show up there. So you can keep playing and play against like one or two persons. Or, you know, maybe all then the Rubes then go to that frog game or go to that horse game, and then someone else with a different sort of skill set has a better chance of winning tickets there. So some sort of mechanic like that where you don't necessarily get punished by getting kicked off of it. You just get punished in the way that the prizes and the amount of tickets that you win goes lower and lower and lower.
Yeah, so you have to rotate,
yeah,
your characters, and you have to kind of... You know, you can't just spam one thing or one strategy the entire time. Yeah. No, I like that. That's good.
Additionally, the one time that I was at a casino and the person or the man that I was with who was doing very, very well didn't necessarily get kicked out. What they do actually is that they'll give you a coupon to get you a free lunch so that they can get you off the table. So I don't know if that's something that we would incorporate there as a security guard. If you do so well at a game, and maybe, like, the Rubes are not joining, so the security guy goes over and he gives you, like, a free lunch. Kind of like, you know, it's a little bit of a reward to get you off of the machine itself. Like, maybe a lunch, I don't know, refreshes your stats or does something else. But, you know, you are off the machine. You got to go do something else. You got to put your person in timeout while they get, maybe, instead of a, you know, a punishment, they get a reward.
I think actually, so I like this mechanic. Can I just tweak it flavor wise or lore wise a little bit?
Sure.
So I think that maybe, yeah, on these character things, like the cards themselves will actually have little dials, and that every time, I mean, again, Big Strong Hank, he is big and strong, but he can only play whack-a-mole so many times before his arm gets tired. So I think every time that you use a game that uses a various stat or whatever, the dial goes down, or, you know, whatever, like, your score gets worse and worse and worse, and then you have to either trade games or, yeah, take a breather, like you said, and then your character can come back fully recharged. Like, I don't think it should be a mechanic that the game tells you to do it. I think it should be a mechanic that you as a player have to track,
yeah,
and then be like, okay, Big Strong Hank, he needs a breather. He needs to go sip a soda. He needs to lean up against a jukebox and look cool for a little bit.
The classic things. Yeah, you know, there is a fatigue to playing whack-a-mole so many times. So this is a good idea where you can, if you play a game that uses a specific stat, it will go down over time to a point where it makes it very hard to win that specific game. That's I like that. That's a good thing. And then maybe if you do, if you win it, say like three times in a row, then you do get that gift card, and you get to, you know, take a break, and you can put your stats all the way back up. And maybe if you don't take that gift card, or if you just put your person out, maybe each stat only goes up one at a time while you're taking a break.
Oh, and then of course, yeah, and then also at the ticket counter, I mean, they sell refreshments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you could also just buy the refreshments so that your characters can get back in the game quicker.
Get like a Monster Energy. It really just like throws you back in there.
So my one question, or at least the last little bit of mechanics thing, and then I actually think this is pretty sweet. Last little bit of mechanics is, how do you move around the arcade, and what does like a turn order look like? Like, do we just go back and forth that like if it's my turn, I place my characters at the games or the stations that I want them to be at, then you place your characters, then we go sequentially settling various, I guess, stations or, you know, locations on the board, and then next round you move your characters first, I move my characters first, so on and so forth? Or does that sound good?
It's gotta be like, I like the idea that there's a board, or like an actual board that maybe you have certain tiles that you can actually rearrange to set up different sort of stations for every single gameplay that you want to do, much like how in Settlers of Catan, where it's always random, you get randomized pieces or randomized, you know, squares that you can actually like place down in different sort of places.
Yeah, and the allocation changes by game.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So, you know, there would be like a certain like speed stat maybe that's associated with strength or something of that nature that people can move around to. But additionally, you know, when you sit your character down at the arcade itself or at the specific game, you can't just play it without other people getting there. Like, maybe there's like a timer for when like the next games start for every single one, so you kind of have to spread out in the arcade itself.
I was gonna say, even the locations have little tracker dials that you move every turn as kind of like a refresh of when the next game at that location is going to be played.
Yeah exactly. And then maybe after a game is played and like people join, then, you know, depending if you win or lose, maybe more people join at that time. And, you go for, like, a set number of times so that, like, then you could win that specific game. And then maybe, you know, the next time for, like, the next time that it is played, which is, like, immediately after that turn, some other people, like, join, like, other players then join to try to, like, take you on, you know?
Yeah. No, that sounds good.
Okay.
My one thing, and this is honestly getting into the nitty-gritty of it, which, I mean, hey, I like it. In terms of turns, I think like one round looks like this. We kind of both move our characters at the same time, and maybe whoever goes first changes, because the only thing that I'm thinking of in my head in terms of strategy, I'm already looking for the next B Sports release of this game. But if you were to go first and move all of your characters, then I would be able to allocate my characters, you know, optimally based off of what you've done every single time. I think it should be this, that you move a character, I move a character, you move a character, I move a character, and it's, you know, back and forth until each one of our characters has moved, and then we do the rounds of playing the games, playing cards, playing power-ups, whatever, based off of where our characters are.
Yeah, and then you gotta, like, run back to the prize wheel, and I'll say this, if you've got the car, if you spent all the money or all your tickets on the car, I'll say that if whoever's got it equipped can get to, they can pick up their homies, and they can get to any game that they want to in time for it to be played. Yeah. And that's, like, the bonus of having the car, or I guess the go-kart itself. So you can just, like, zip around the whole thing. You don't even need to move anymore. You just drive everywhere in style.
Now, I think because we're kind of building out these crews, I think one aspect is that maybe actually you even, at the beginning of the game, you draw, like, a full, like, seven characters, but there can only be three characters out on the floor at any given time. So you can sub them in and out, but I think that, like, again, that's almost like kind of like, oh, okay, I know that DJ is playing a lot of precision characters. He's nailing the shooting game, he's nailing, you know, the lights game or whatever. So in my characters in my hand, I was like, oh, I have some precision people, but they're not that good. So I'm gonna specialize, or I'm gonna take back maybe my two precision people because I can't compete and throw out some other people for now until his get worn down. Does that sound good? Because I'm just kind of thinking of a way to, like, that there should be a way to kind of work with the hand that you've been dealt. Like, you don't just have your three characters that you're given just be like, oh, okay, well, I guess this is what I'm doing for the entire game.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, is that you want to have the ability as a player to switch up your strategy and put in different people that right. you can. And it's not to say that, like, the precision people can't play the strength games or, like, the driving games or anything like that. Like, you can definitely set someone, if their game is starting and you know that you, your precision person can't get to the game that they're good at in time, and that you'd rather just try to win some tickets at, like, the driving one, like, you can go ahead and do that. But I think, yeah, I like that idea that you can sub people in and out. And maybe when you sub someone out, that's, like, their way to refresh, and that they can start getting their dial back, and then you can switch someone in as they're getting, like, back up to strength.
Right. And hey, maybe one of the things that you can buy in the prize, you know, ticket house, and I'm assuming this would be like a 20 ticket prize to get, but you can buy just, like, a birthday party. And when you trigger Ooh. Or when you use the birthday party card, when you use that, everyone that's on the bench, you know, in the dining room, I guess, they all get refreshed.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I think you should be able to buy events like a clown car just comes in, starts really distracting someone when they're on the machine.
No clowns.
Yeah.
No clowns.
Just tons of clowns.
No clowns.
Oh, you don't want clowns. Why not?
Don't like clowns. We can call it literally anything else, but no clowns.
Well, that's why. Well, yeah, nobody likes clowns, really. I mean, but that's why they're distracting. It's a negative effect for
other players.
Yeah, for other players. You set it a bunch of clowns.
Gotcha. Okay. No, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah, look,
I just wanted to make sure that we weren't.
What's that?
Oh, hey, you know what? I'll put my foot in the sand right here. I am not pro clown. Sorry. Sorry, clowns out there, to separate myself, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Hey, listen, clowns. I'm for the clowns, actually. So I will, now that I know this fact about my brother, I'm going to really push hard for us to make a clown game. So please submit all of your clown ideas to PatchPotchR&D for our Twitter handle. Thank you.
Look, let me just clarify with this. I think clowns have gotten a bad rap as of late. I mean, you know, with,
yeah, you're certainly not helping.
Well, sorry.
It also didn't help when clowns would just kind of, remember when there was a bunch of creepy clowns that kind of stood in, like, dark parks and things like that and stared at people?
Yeah, with, like, knives and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they didn't do this any favors for themselves there.
That's true.
So, I'm just saying that I'm sorry that I feel this way, but I do, and, I am open to, you know, second chances. I just gotta, I can't have my, I can't keep opening my arms only to have my heart broken by a clown again.
Yeah, okay, so it sounds like we're tit for tat in terms of, if the clowns can stop standing with knives, we will stop.
If clowns could just stop doing that, that'd be great.
Yeah, I don't think they've done it in a while, but, you know.
I don't think so either, but. Hey,
we got our eyes on you.
Stays. Yeah, exactly. All right, okay. Back to the game. Enough of that.
No clowning around.
There we go. Perfect. No, I think this is actually pretty good. I can't really think of any other mechanics that I would want. I think it sounds pretty well fleshed out. Are we okay with Arcade Hustle? Is that okay?
Yeah,
that's
a pretty good
catchy
name. Yeah. It gets the point across. I like it.
Yeah, short and sweet, gets it across. I was honestly kind of trying to think of something a little more flashy, but maybe that'll just come across.
Arcade Hustle's pretty good. Actually, you know, it's so good, I'm just going to wonder if Arcade Hustle, if that's already a game.
Is it something already?
Yeah. This is, no, okay, so there, hold on. There is an old arcade game called Hustle. Hustle Arcade. No. Google keeps correcting me too. Did you mean Hustle Arcade? Arcade Hustle game.
We're pretty sure you meant Hustle Arcade.
No. I think this one's good to go.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. No, I'm down with it. I'm happy with it, because I'm also imagining on the box, you know, yeah, you got some characters that look like your typical oh my goodness, what's the name of the game or the movie? Scorsese,
Casino?
Goodfellas.
Oh,
couple of,
yeah, either one of them.
Yeah, either one. Couple of wise guys, you know, maybe even some zoot suits, and then you kind of got your other, you know, I guess more akin to Ocean's flavor of characters. You've got the face. You've got a kind of an agile person, maybe like hanging from a rafter or something like that. You know, just all kinds of crazy characters.
Sure, just a wild crew.
Perfect.
Cool. Who goes first?
Perfect. Just about to ask that. So I do like that we kind of come up with a hierarchy thing, and I feel like we usually go with who did thing last or who brought thing last or something like that.
Yeah, do you want to change it up?
Kind of. I'm trying to think of a mechanic that, you know, not just a die roll, but something that has a little bit to do with a game style, like, and maybe a little bit of chance, but like, who knows? Maybe if you are really good at sleight of hand and you can literally cheat this opening ceremony, so to speak, you get to go first because you're crafty and clever and such.
Are you saying that you, like, is this where we introduce the mini games to the actual set itself?
Maybe that's it. Maybe you like roll a die and you know, there's six little mini things. There's tiny ski ball, tiny frog, flip jump thing, whatever, tiny this, that, and the other. You roll a die. Whoever does the best in the game gets to go first.
Mm-hmm. That's what we call the pregame.
The pregame. Your physical skills are put to the test.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. At least I'm cool with it. Because then we get to include the mini games that we had talked about before.
Yeah, and that'll really crank up the price of this game, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This thing's $60 easy.
Well, I was gonna go even higher. Oh. This thing sounds like it's got a lot of pieces, a lot of little plastic pieces. Oh, and the best part is that people will probably break and or lose them, and we do not sell the individual.
You have
game
to buy
games.
The you whole box again.
You gotta buy the whole thing again.
Took a lot of work to get all this thing together.
Yeah, so don't ask.
We've already got plans for the box art, as you stated. You know, this is gonna be a huge thing.
Now we're the bullies.
Yep.
Nah, I'm kidding. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We very much appreciate having you here. Again, started saying it. We really appreciate word of mouth, spreading the word, getting it out there. You know, if you think anyone would like us, I like long walks on the beach and pina coladas in the rain. But no, any type of promotion that you all would feel comfortable with would be super fantastic and very appreciated.
Yeah, we definitely love that. Any support from our listeners, you know, telling, you know, getting a bigger and bigger crowd, we would always appreciate. So thank you.
Yeah. You can find us on Twitter and join our R&D program at PatchPotchR&D. And for any professional inquiries, we are also at PatchPotchLLC@gmail.com. And to spell that out for you, it is PatchPotch. I think that's it. Got anything else?
No, I really got nothing. Oh, hey, quick question, actually. So I've noticed every single time for our sign-off, we don't really have a consistent one. It also doesn't... Sometimes the sign-offs don't have anything to do with the game that we talked about. Are we trying to sign off just with random things? Or are we signing off with something that's supposed to be related to the game we just talked about?
I'm kind of down for either way, but I guess to kind of pull the curtain back again, the sign-off is different every time, but we claim that it is not.
Wait, really? We do that?
Yeah. Well, there's one time I said, do you want to give us the classic sign-off? And you say, oh, you mean when I, you know, try to make a thing about whatever? Yeah. No, that was kind of my idea for it.
Oh, I didn't know that we were supposed to be doing... Oh, well.
Yeah.
Here comes the classic sign-off. When you hustle and bustle, don't forget about Russell.
Bye.